Welcome to the sermon from Silver Lake Baptist Church. Our mission is to celebrate the greatness of God with all we are for the joy, hope, and renewal of our community. We are so glad you have chosen to listen to our message. We pray you'll be blessed by your time with us today.
All right, Happy New Year! Is it, what year is it? 5786, is that right? I think it is. So, okay, let's pray. I'm going to do it?
Yeah.
Okay. Father, thank you. Thank you for being with us. Thank you for your peace and your goodness and your faithfulness and just always being there for us and always being true. We give you the praise in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, speak through me this morning. Amen. Amen. So I had a scripture that kind of come to my heart, and so I'm going to share it with you guys. Are you guys okay with that? Okay, good. I'm going to go into Lamentations 3, and then I'm going to go into Colossians chapter 2 or 3, one of them. I'm not sure yet. We'll just kind of follow the Holy Spirit. Colossians 1, and I'm going to go into 15. Then I might go to Deuteronomy, and I might go to John. This is why we don't put stuff up on the board, right? So everywhere I go, if I preach somewhere else, they're like, what do you want to put up? And so I preached for one of my friends, and he said, should we send him what we want to preach? And he said, not James. Nope. Don't do that to James. You'll never follow him. So I give him like 3 chapters to put up, and hopefully I might find something in there. But most of the time, it never goes. So Jim has to put up with this every week on the videos, by the way. So you should really say an extra prayer for him, right? Yes. Amen? Yeah. He's like, yeah, I'm done with that. He's going to follow him, right? But I'm in Lamentations, which... chapter 3, which really could be the book about crying and complaining, right? And it's Jeremiah, and Jeremiah had a right to cry and complain, because like he's seen like all Israel has been annihilated, the temple's been destroyed, and he's watched everybody get carried away, and it was a nightmare. It was a nightmare situation, and he didn't just see it, but he prophesied it. Now he sees what he prophesied, and he don't like it. And God, I don't think God liked it either. But I think about going into the new year, I think about the Jewish people. They quit putting their trust and their hope in God, and they put it in themselves. And it's not like God does stuff to us when we do that. It's like, God's like, if you work, I'll rest. If you rest, I'll work, right? You're really, he gives us a choice. And so we can say, okay, do I want to be God? Or do I want to allow God to be God? And so much of the time we think that we can, it's okay, God, you sit down, I got this. Like I'm enough of a cowboy. Like I've done that a lot of my life, and I've learned that my biggest strength is not in me trying to do it. My biggest strength is me taking my place and sitting in Christ and allowing God to do it through me. It says, in Him we live. In Him we move. In Him we have our being. So I always like this. I wrote it in my Bible a while back, and it's like my primary calling is not to preach. It's not to pray. It's not to do the preacher stuff. My primary is not to read the Bible or teach the Word. My primary calling is intimacy with Him. And out of that, everything else will flow. And so when I read my Word, I ain't reading it to preach, I'm reading it to know Him and have intimacy with Him. And He talks to me through it. And out of that, He's like, oh, by the way, over here, why don't you say something to someone over here about this, right? And so does that all the time. Like, say, hey, I got a word, and this is what it is, and I'll be out feeding my horses, right? And that's how you know you have a relationship that's beyond just a doing and a legalistic practice, right? Now, I believe if you read the Bible enough that it's alive and it's going to jump out and get you sooner or later, right? But at the same time, in the spirit, there is no mechanism for failure. So I don't want to work in my own power. I want to rest in His strength. I was watching this thing on lions. Anybody ever like lions? I'm fascinated by lions, right? And so there's this dude in Africa. I think he's in Africa. He's somewhere. He's got a South African accent, right? His name's Dean Snyder, right? Some of his videos got like 9.6 million views, right? But he does so good with the lions, but he's out on a walk with his lion. How many want to go on a walk with your lion? Most of us don't like to walk our dogs, right? And so his lion's coming up on something, and it sets down and looks out. And he's like, okay, here's where we need to be careful. And he said, what a lot of people don't realize, when a lion sits, that's when he takes his dominion. And I watched this lion sit and look at another lion, and this other lion got up and walked around, and then he sat, and then he's like, maybe I'm not going to sit. I'm going to move on down the road. Right? We have a lion that lives in us. It's the lion of the tribe of Judah. And it's like the Holy Spirit jumped out, and he said, if you want to have dominion, you're going to have to sit in Him. Take that place where you live in Him and sit down in Him. And out of that, like, we think we got, oh, I got it. I'm in the Lord's army, so I think I'm a private, so I'm going to be artillery, you know, doing this on the line or this or that. No, we're not. We're sons and daughters of the King. We're ambassadors of Christ. How many ambassadors do you see carrying guns around the United Nations? None. They don't fight wars, right? We're not called to fight the battle, right? We're called to rest in Him, and He fights the battle. He's got armies, angels, armies. Jesus said, if God, you ain't taking me, I could call down angels, and they'd wipe you out in a second, right? He said, I'm only doing this because of you, and I love you, and I'm going to give my life for you. But you ain't doing this to me. There's a oneness we know in the Spirit that we can rest, and that rest comes from sitting in who He is, right? Doesn't mean that we don't feel hurt, we don't feel pain, we're not deprived of peace. So, like, that's how Jeremiah felt here. I'm going to read in Jeremiah 3, verse 17 is where I'm going to start. And actually, I'm going to read from 1 because I want to hear how, I want you to hear the despair that he was feeling, right? Because it was a hard time for him, right? It says, I am a man who has seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. He has driven me away, made me walk in darkness rather than light. Indeed, he has turned his hand against me again and again all day long. He has made my skin and flesh grow old and has broken my bones. He has besieged me, surrounded me with bitterness and hardship. He has made me dwell in darkness like those long dead. He has walled me in so I cannot escape. He has weighed me down with claims. Even when I call out or cry for help, He shuts out my prayer. Now, I think that part of this, when you read the Bible, this is a glimpse of how Jesus felt on the cross. Can you imagine Him coming? And He took all of our burdens, and He took all of our pain, and He took all of our sorrows. And I think this is how Jesus felt on the cross. And we're seeing a glimpse of this in Jeremiah, right? And He says, even when I call out and cry for help, He shuts out my prayer. Remember, what did Jesus say on the cross? My Father, why have You forsaken me, right? God hadn't forsaken Him. But it doesn't mean He didn't feel like He had. It doesn't mean that these things that Jeremiah were going through, that it didn't hurt. These were real things that he was going through, real hurts, real pains, real bad situations. And so, in a way, he had a right to complain. In a way, I think it's healthy for us to go through that, right? It's healthy for us to mourn. It's healthy for us not to deny that things are going on, not to like what's going on, but to say, you know what? Greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. Do I recognize what's going on as greater than God? Because see what Jeremiah knew, but even though he might not have seen it at the time because he was so mired in it, was that God had already had a plan. And God already had a purpose. And God was already working in the situation. And this situation wasn't come to wipe people out. It was coming to save people. And God was going to do it in divine order, under grace, with divine timing. And we can trust God in those situations. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So, he says, he has barred my way with blocks of stone, and he has made my paths crooked like a bear lying in wait, like a lion hiding. He dragged me from the path and mangled me and left me without help. He drew his bow and made me the target for his arrows. Only thing we need is the hee-haw dogs to go, right? That's all. Like, if you want to be encouraged, like, you don't read Lamentations. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Unless you see through what is happening. And then you say, oh, this isn't a cry of defeat. This is a cry, the very same cry that we have a high priest who intercedes for his people. Right? That's the cry that Jesus has. But I believe Jesus looks at it and says, hey, his cry is for us to see who we are in him and set down and trust him instead of trying to do everything on our own.
Yes.
We get that choice every day. It says, he pierced my heart with arrows from his quiver. I became the laughingstock of all my people. They mock me in song all day long. He has filled me with bitter herbs and sated me with gall. He has broken my teeth with gravel. He has trampled me in the dust. And then this is where I was wanting to start and didn't, because it changes colors here. We're starting to see some life come in. But he says, and when you read that, does that not sound like what Jesus went through on the cross? I mean, it just amazes me when I read that. But 3:17 says this, I have been deprived of peace. Like in Jeremiah, like he is a man who loved God. He was a man who was doing great things, but he was getting made fun of. People didn't like him. They were like, that's not what I want to hear. You know, and then all this stuff starts happening and he didn't like what God was saying. It's like, man, I just wanna walk in peace and love and have the little, you know, bluebirds fall down and we go dancing and all the rabbits and stuff pop out and start talking to me, and you know, like it's a Disney movie. But he was in the wrong kind of Disney movie, right? And so the dude's hurting so much that he says, I have been deprived of peace. And he says, I have forgotten, so much so that I have forgotten what prosperity is. So I say, my splendor is gone and not all that I had hoped from the Lord. He's like, I've lost my peace. In fact, it's so bad that I don't even remember what it was like to walk in blessing, to walk in peace, to walk in health. It's been so bad, so hard, so rotten. I don't even remember what it's like. And to be honest, I don't even have any hope in the Lord anymore. He didn't do nothing wrong. He's a man of God. Sometimes we go through those seasons. Sometimes it feels like we look around and like there's no hope. But God, I love how it goes on because it gets a little better from here. Aren't you glad? He says, I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. I will remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Now watch this. He says, I will remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. I'll read that one more time. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. I think it's somewhere in the New Testament it talks about casting down imaginations and everything that exalts itself above the Lord, right? The name of the Lord, right? What's he saying? I don't deny this is happening. But I'm going to change my focus to the fact that the King has entered the room. And the King still lives within me. And greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I'm going to recognize God as supreme. And he's like, I'm going to recall to mind that I have a great God and a great Savior. Now watch. Because, he says, yet I call to mind and therefore I have hope. Why? Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. For his compassions never fail. There is no mechanism for failure in Christ. His compassions never fail. They are new sometimes. They're new when?
Every morning.
When are they new?
Every morning.
I was thinking, as I was reading this, I was thinking about this year coming up. We're stepping into a new year. And every year, like I get to celebrate it more than once because I like to celebrate the Jewish New Year too, right? And so I actually get to celebrate like three of them, right? And so technically, right? So, but I see New Year's and everybody's excited and everybody's like this is going to happen this year and that's going to happen that year. And I think someone talked a little bit about resolutions last week too, right? But I don't want to talk about a resolution. I want to talk about a revolution. Not the kind that comes on the earth physically, but a revolution that will transform us from the inside out when we have this recognition that it's not just a new year, it's a new day. Every day we get is a gift from God, right? And we can celebrate it. Every day we get, the reason you're here is not coincidence. The fact that you have breath in your lungs is because God has ordained it and anointed it and set it to be so. You're not subpar. You're not ordinary. You are sons and daughters of the Most High God, born for this time and for this season. Now, I don't know a lot about the years, but they always name them after an animal. Right? Except last year they named it after a snake. Right? Everybody looks at a snake and they think, oh, that's cursed, that's bad. But I was thinking about last year, and where I grew up, they have these gyp hills, right? You know where you get your sheetrock? It's from gypsum. So they'd have these gypsum plants, and they'd make a lot of gypsum and stuff. But we'd go riding horses up in the gyp hills. Or we'd be riding along, and you'd see a rattlesnake. Now, I don't have a problem with rattlesnakes. In fact, they like me so much they don't rattle at me, which I don't like that. I'd prefer that they did rattle at me. Like my grandma and my great-grandpa was the same way. But I had a cousin, and if he was from here to that chair, if he was from here to the parking lot, and they felt him coming, like they'd be hissing and striking. And so I'd prefer that, honestly, because at least he knew where they were. But a lot of times we'd be riding on the road, and I'd ride on past, and then I'd hear this, and the snake would warn me, and it'd run off if it could. But there's a time of the year when that didn't happen, because what was happening was the snakes were shedding their skin. And when they were shedding their skin was the most vulnerable time of their life. So do you know what they would do? They would strike at everything. So you might be riding your horse by, and you had to keep in mind what time of year it was, because they usually wouldn't strike at a horse. They'd usually run or let, you know, rattlesnakes are really honest, by the way. They get a bad rap. If they can get away from you, they will. Or if they can warn you, they ain't intending to bite you, except the little pygmy rattlesnakes. They're meaner than snot. Right? They dream about biting you, right? So thank God there's not very many of those anymore. But my uncle used to put one in an old milk glass jar, and he was a heathen, so he'd take it to the bar, and he'd say, if you can hold your hand against the jar while that strikes, he said, I'll give you a buck. If it can't, you give me a buck. And he'd walk out of there with all kinds of money. No one ever won that, right? But so here are the rattlesnakes. They're striking at everything. Because in a way, they feel like they're dying. But what's really happening is there's something underneath that's coming to life. The old is passing away, and everything's becoming new, right? The Bible says that we're a new creature in Christ. The old things have passed away. Behold, some things have become new.
All things?
Really? Right? All things have become new. And so now we can set our hearts and trust, oh, I'm a new creature. So I thought it was kind of cool that last year was the year of the snake. Because a lot of people were just thinking about, oh, a scary snake. Or, you know, or some people were thinking, hey, I got a pet. You know, I had a dude that has snakes for pets, like, you know, the wraparound kind, boas or whatever. Like, if you're a snake, you either stay in your place or I'm going to eat you, even though you're not kosher, right? So, but a lot of people think, oh, really bad, there's a snake, right? I thought, no. It's shedding. I feel like last year was a year where there was shedding. And there's a lot of old stuff. Not that it was bad stuff, but some old stuff that was getting shed off because God's wanting to do something new. I feel like that's in our lives, in our church, in every part of who we are. It's healthy. And it's good, right? Even though it don't always feel good, right? But now we're going into the year, and I love this.
Horse.
The year of the what?
Horse.
I can't hear you guys.
Horse.
The year of the what?
Horse.
The year of the horse. And when I heard that, my heart leaped. Now, I know we're Christians, right? I know I'm using something that's not Christian, but I'm trying to give you an example. Do you hear what I'm saying? God talks through everything if you'll listen. The horse. When I heard it's the year of the horse, I was surprised. But I was also excited because I was like, you know what? I'm a cowboy. I can actually do something with a horse. I was like, this is my year. Like something jumped up in me. I was like, the old stuff's passed. The old stuff's gone. And now I got a horse to work with. Yes. I was born for this time, and I was born for this season, and now I know that I can trust God in this season even more than I thought before. I come to life because I was like, this is a year of the horse. Actually, when it come New Year's, I went and hugged my stud, my stallion. His name is Cayuse. I was like, it's your year, buddy. And I hugged him. I love you. I'm so glad. It's our year, right? I was excited. But it means it's the year to run forward. Not the year to shrink back, but a year to go forward and trust that God's moving with us. Now, we're not riding through a desert on a horse with no name. Right? That's an easy fix, by the way. Right? Anybody ever have a horse with no name? Yeah? In the desert? Yeah. Riding through the desert on a horse with no name. Anyway. It felt good to be out of the rain. Obviously, they had ran out of Washington. Oh, Seattle at least, right? But I really feel like this is a year God's like, now we're going to we're going to step into our destiny and we're going to ride and we're going to run and we're going to go forward. And I was excited for that. But you know where you find the most freedom when you're riding a horse? It's when you throw the reins away. Or even better yet, you know what you do? You take the bridle off. When I was in college, I was in the horse program, and they brought me this horse to ride. And he was from a famous boy. He was a barrel man, rodeo clown. His name was Bobby Clark. He was this tall, no kidding. And he had a monkey that was about half as tall as him. It was meaner than snot, and he was one of my heroes. And so I was at this school, and they brought, Bobby was actually taller than that, so I don't want to say that because he was a legend, right? But they brought this horse, and I drew one of the horses. He brought two horses to ride, and it was owned by Bobby Clark. And I was like, yes, you know? And so I got on this horse, and we finally got it in the round pen. It was the first time I got on in the round pen, and I'm trying to turn the horse and make it go, but as I'm trying to make the horse go, I'm pulling back on the reins. And the horse was like, what are you doing, dork? Right? You want me to stop or do you want me to go? So my instructor saw that. So he comes in there, walks over to me, and he grabs a bridle, and he pulls it off. And he said, that horse don't know if you want to go or you want to stop. He says, knock that crap off. You're a better hand than that. And he says, set down. And I was like, I'm on a horse. I'm already sitting down. Right? What am I going to do? So you know what he does? He reaches over and grabs, there's a garden hose with like a piece this tall. Reaches over there, whop, on the horse's tail end. And you know what that horse did? Took off, round, running, full speed. And here he is going whop, whop, whop at the horse. And I'm sitting here thinking, this is why I was pulling back in the first place. I have no control, and I'm going to die. I'm too young to die, right? And so I'm going around there, and then do you know what he does instead of slowing the horse down? He steps in front of it. Do you know what the horse does? It turns inside out and goes the other way. And I was still on. And I was like, what is going on? Wait a second. I can ride this. And around we go. He steps in front, and then all of a sudden, I was like, you know what? This is kind of fun. I lost all control, but I was still there. And there was a freedom that came to my horsemanship that I'd never experienced before. See, I thought he was trying to kill me. I thought, he don't like me, or so maybe someone's paid him off for life insurance, which all I had was my mom and dad that could have collected then, right? But they might have done it. I don't know. But what he was actually doing was setting me free. He didn't do it with anybody else. He just did it with me. He must have really hated me. But I think what he did was he actually believed in me enough to know that I could handle it. And when we did that enough and I got comfortable, the horse relaxed, I relaxed, and he stops and he looks at me and he says, you can get off that horse when you can stop, turn left, and turn right, and go forward. without that bridle. I was in there a little while. But about 3 months later, Bobby Clark comes to pick his horse up. And I'm in a great big old round pen with a bunch of other horses, bunch of other colts, and they're not near as broke as my colt. And you know what I had? I would take the bridle off and I just put the reins, just hang it on my saddle and just ride it with the reins around her neck. And I was going, weaving in between loping around, whoa, stop, and she just stops, turn. Bobby Clark walked up and says, "Is that my horse?" And he said, "Yeah, that's your horse." And he said, "Son, that's a good job." He said, "But if the jockeys can't ride that one, I'm retiring." Right? Because it was going to be a racehorse, right? But there was a freedom that comes when we trust God and let Him be the one who takes us. And we can flow with Him. And it will set you free in your life. But you get to choose. If you can stay in control and keep pulling back and kicking at the same time, or you can let that horse run. I wonder where we're going to go. I wonder how far we're going to go. It's changed how I trained horses. I had a rope horse come to me. It was at a place I was riding. And it kept running away with guys because they were trying to, every time they'd swing the rope, it'd run. Like run off with them. And so they said, if you swing a rope, it's going to run off with you. And I said, well, that's no problem. They said, you're not afraid of it running off with you? And I said, I can ride as fast as it can run. Where are we going to go? We're in an arena, right? So I got on the horse and just started loping, and I got my lead rope and just started swinging it like this a little bit, and I could feel the horse start to take off. And so I just swung a little bit, and he takes off. And so I just kept swinging, and I kept riding. And I just kept directing him, running as fast as he could. And the more he ran, the more I would swing. And pretty soon, he just checked down from the run to a fast lope. Then from a lope, he checked down even smaller. And then he went to a trot and then a walk. And then he stood there, and I just kept swinging. We're afraid of not having control. But what if not having control is what actually gives us victory and gives us control? Amen. This flesh will lie to us. Your eyes will lie to you. But we can be like the lion and sit down and trust Him that's our dominion. Not from the outside, but from the inside. When I first moved up here, I got a horse brought to me. His name was Cayenne Pepper. He was by Little Peppy, who is one of the greatest cutting horses ever. And I gave it to Linda, actually, as partners. But the reason I got this horse, it was trained by one of the best cutting horse trainers, his son, champion trainer. Awesome cutting horse, but somehow he'd gotten sold and a barrel racer got him. Not that I have anything against barrel racers, right? But they blew this horse up. So they'd get on and that every time he'd get scared, and so he'd feel so much pressure, he thought he was a kamikaze, literally. He would run into a wall to get you off and get out of that pressure. So when they brought, she's like, you're barely going to be able to ride him. And I was like, she's like, I don't want to put any money. And I said, well, I'll take him on. Like, I was young and stupid, right? So I got on him, and I just started loping. And when he got scared and wanted to run, I clucked to him instead of pulling back. And he's like, well, what? And I just steered him by the wall, and I was like, whew, that was close. And we went round and round, and pretty soon, when he gets scared, I'd say, run. Run, buddy. You're free. I ain't pulling you back. I ain't holding you in. No pressure. And you know what? Linda could do the same thing with him. He's just so good. Turned into a great horse. Now, cutting was a little hairy sometimes because you'd be out front with a horse, with a cow separated in front, and you had your cows back here, and you'd be cutting a cow, and he was so awesome, but a horse cow would move wrong back there, and you'd be like, phew, running away. But you take what you get, man. I think if I'd had that horse longer, I would have had a lot more confidence even in that. But the point I'm trying to make is you can't control everything. But you can rest. And when you rest in Him, that's where He can take control. And He's a lot better and a lot stronger than you are. Right? So He says, because of the Lord's great love, do you know how much He loves you? This much. Not this, this much? This much? This much? Maybe. That's how much Jesus loved you. Because He allowed Himself to be nailed to a cross. I love this, because when you go like this, you can follow my hands all the way that from north. You go far enough north, you know what? It's going to turn into south. There's no end to it. If I'm facing east and west, I don't know if that's north or not. I think it is. It is. See, I was right. I knew I had a 1 in 4 chance. Right? That's how great His love is for us. And that's why we're not consumed. For His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Now, are we just talking to the same dude? Like, you remember Jeremiah? I'm talking about Jeremiah, the hee-haw guy with the dog. Woo, woe is me and agony on you, right? Roar, 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 you know. Are we talking about the same Jeremiah? What happened? Watch this. He says, yet this I call to mind. He said, I'm going to remember what God said. And I'm going to remember who God is in this situation. And I don't deny this is happening, but it ain't greater than God. And when the king comes in, things have got to change. And things have got to go into order. So I'm just going to recognize that God is in this house. When I say this house, I mean this house. But also this house. And your house. And in you. We're worried about who's letting the dogs out. Maybe we should let God out. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for His compassions never fail. They are new. When?
Every morning.
Every morning. I think that's kind of skimpy. I think God's compassions are new now, 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 now. Now, but if you can't handle that, at least go to every morning, because a lot of people think it's every year. I ain't waiting till next year. Some of us, if we made resolutions, we've already blown it. But guess what? I don't have to wait till next year. Boom, now. Watch this. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Then He says this, I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. That word in Hebrew, I think, is helek. And it doesn't just mean He's your portion. He's your inheritance. He's your everything. Now watch this. Therefore, I will wait for Him. Now I'm going to go over to Colossians. See, I'm going to go into John first. Are you guys good with that? John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was what? He was with God in the beginning, and through him all things were made. How many things?
All things.
Without him, who made, whom, I got a bone to pick with whoever put the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the garden. Who created that? God did. It's because he created it don't mean we're supposed to eat it. I digress. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life. And that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. I don't think a lot of us understand it. Man, I'm out of time. What happened? He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were what? I'm in Colossians 1. What's that? Did you say wait? Created. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all what? Creation. Colossians 1:16. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have supremacy. Do you know what that tells me? Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess. Am I going to trust what I see, or am I going to trust him? Am I going to rely on the flesh? He talks about it. Jesus says you have eyes but don't see, and ears but don't hear. He's not talking about this eye and this ear. He's saying you're not seeing me and my kingdom, because I have great things for you. And I just want you this year to throw the reins away. And instead of pulling back, say, let's go, boys. Actually, I kiss to them if I want them to loaf. I go, pretend I'm looking at Linda. Right? And let it run, because God's going to do great things in your life, and he is going to blow your socks off. And this is going to be the best year you've ever had. How could it not be? It's the year of the horse, guys. Amen?
Yes.
So, Father, thank you for your word. Encourage folks and let them know that they can trust you by just throwing the reins away. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. If you'd like to learn more about us, check out our website at www.silverlakebaptist.org.